धारी गोपी जनवल यशोदा नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदा नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीर वन चारी यमुना तीर यमुना तीर वन चारी यमुना जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी गोपी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी गोपी जन वल्लभ यशोदा नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदा नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीर वन चार यमुना यमुना तीर वन चार यमुना जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्थेर शत श्री श्रीमद भाई चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की इस्कान संस्थापक आचार्य श्रील प्रभुपाद की नित्य नील प्रविष्ट भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर की श्रील गौर किशोर दास बाबाजी महाराज की सच्चिदानंद भक्ति विनोद ठाकुर की वैष्णव सर्वभौम श्री जगन्नाथ दास बाबाजी महाराज की गौड़ीय वेदांत आचार्य बलदेव विद्यभूषण प्रभु की श्री विश्वनाथ चक्रवर्ती ठाकुर की श्री नरोत्तम दास ठाकुर की श्री रूप सनातन भट्ट रघुनाथ श्री जीव गोपाल भट्ट दास रघुनाथ षड गोस्वामी प्रभु की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवास आदि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोगोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की श्री वृंद देवी गंगा देवी जमुना देवी भक्ति देवी की श्री वृंदावन धाम की मथुरा धाम की मायापुर नवद्वीप धाम की श्री जगन्नाथ परिधाम की श्री द्वारका परिधाम की श्री अयोध्या परिधाम की श्री श्री किशोर किशोरी मंदिर की श्री श्री किशोर किशोरी की श्री 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 जगन्नाथ बलदेव सुभद्र देवी सुदर्शन चक्र की श्री श्री गौर निताय की हरि नाम संकीर्तन की गौर प्रेमानंद हरि हरि बोल समावेत भक्तवृंद की समावेत भक्तवृंद की समावेत भक्तवृंद की श्रील प्रभुपाद की हरे कृष्ण नमः ओम विष्णुपादाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनीति नामने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश धारणे। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया। भागवतीत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। श्रीमद् भागवतम स्कंद 8 अध्याय 24 श्लोक 4 एंड 5 करेक्ट। या सो इफ देयर इज टू आई विल जस्ट रीड द फर्स्ट वन एंड देन वी विल ऑल रिस्पांसिबली द सेकंड वन। इज दैट ओके। श्री सूत उवाच इत्युक्तो विष्णुरातेन भगवान् बादरायणी उवाच चरितं विष्णोर् मत्स्य रूपेण यत्कृतम्। ट्रांसलेशन। सुत गोस्वामी सेड व्हेन परीक्षित महाराज दस इंक्वायर्ड फ्रॉम शुकदेव गोस्वामी दैट मोस्ट पावरफुल सेंटली पर्सन बिगैन डिस्क्राइबिंग द पास्ट टाइम्स ऑफ द लॉर्ड्स इनकार्नेशन एज अ फिश। श्री शुक उवाच गोविप्रसुर साधूनां छन्दसामपि चेश्वरः रक्षाम् इच्छांस्तनूर्धत्ते धर्मस्यार्थस्य चैव हि। श्री शुक उवाच गोविप्रसुरसाधूनां छन्दसामपि चेश्वरः रक्षाम् इच्छांस्तनु तनुर्धत्ते धर्मस्यार्थस्य चैव हि। श्री शुक उवाच गोविप्रसुर साधूनां छन्दसामपि चेश्वरः रक्षाम् इच्छांस्तनुधत्ते धर्मस्यार्थस्य चैव हि। श्री शुक उवाच गोविप्रसुरसाधूनां छन्दसामपि चेश्वरः रक्षामिच्छांस्तनुर्धत्ते धर्मस्यार्थस्य चैव हि। श्री शुक उवाच गोविप्रसुरसाधूनां छन्दसामपि चेश्वरः रक्षाम् इच्छांस्तनुर्धत्ते धर्मस्यार्थस्य चैव हि। श्री शुक उवाच Govipraśura sādhunām chandasāmapi cheśvarah rakṣāmi chāṅsthanur dhatte dharmasyārthasya caivahi. Śrī Śuka uvāca Govipraśura sādhunām chandasāmapi cheśvarah rakṣāmi chāṅsthanur dhatte dharmasyārthasya caivahi. Anyone else? No? Okay. Padapataha. Reading the words. Śrī Śuka uvāca. Śrī Śukadev Goswami said, go of the cows, vipra of the brahmanas, sura of the demigods, sadhunam, and of the devotees, chandasamapi, even of the Vedic literature, cha, and Ishvaraha, the supreme controller, raksham, the protection, icham, desiring, tanu dhatte, accepts the forms of incarnations, dharmasya, of the principles of religion, arthasya, of the purpose of life, sorry, of the principles of the purpose of life, cha, and eva, indeed, he, certainly. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Śrī Śukadeva Goswami said, O King, for the sake of protecting the cows, brahmanas, demigods, devotees, the Vedic literature, religious principles, and principles to fulfill the purpose of life, the Supreme Personality of Godhead accepts the forms of incarnations. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead generally appears in various types of incarnations to give protection to the cows and brahmanas. The Lord is described as go brahmana hitaya cha. In other words, he is always eager to benefit the cows and brahmanas. When the Lord appeared, he purposefully became a cowherd boy and showed personally how to give protection to the cows and calves. Similarly, he showed respect to Sudama Vipra, a real brahmana. From the Lord's personal activities, human society should learn how to give protection specifically to the brahmanas and the cows. Then the protection of religious principles, fulfillment of the aim of life, and protection of Vedic knowledge can be achieved. Without protection of cows, Brahminical culture cannot be maintained. And without Brahminical culture, the aim of life cannot be fulfilled. The Lord, therefore, is described as go brahmana hitaya, because his incarnation is only for the protection of the cows and brahmanas. Unfortunately, because in Kali Yuga there is no protection of the cows and Brahminical culture, everything is in a precarious position. If human society wants to be exalted, the leaders of society must follow the instructions of Bhagavad Gita and give protection to the cows, the brahmanas, and Brahminical culture. Wow, great purport, huh? Now we can fire away with both barrels, smoking guns. Sunday night, I attended a church service in a Baptist church, first time in my life, never been there before. And I listened to their preacher talk about God and how we should love God and the bewilderment that they have. How do good things, bad things happen to good people, he said. And the fact is that they're ignorant of the law of karma, the karma siddhantam. The principle of action and reaction. As you sow, so shall you reap is there in the Bible. But they believe, well, after this life, you either go to heaven or hell. They told me like that. I couldn't believe it. Then why the preacher's own father died of cancer? Why does somebody get cancer? They have no explanation. They're ignorant. And they're religious preachers. They're preaching to thousands and thousands of people. Well, hey, they do not have Brahminical culture, Vedic culture. And if any of our preachers say that Indian culture and Vedic culture is mundane material culture, then he has not understood the teachings of Srila Prabhupada. I don't care who he is. Because Prabhupada writes here. I didn't write this. Prabhupada wrote it, didn't he? Guess what? Prabhupada was a representative of a very ancient culture. He didn't create something new. This is not a personality cult. Prabhupada didn't care about himself. Prabhupada made a statement, I have so many places to stay, but I can't stay there. He was constantly moving and preaching. What was he preaching? Why did he put us in these dhotis and saris? Because we're following Brahminical culture. It's right here. He wrote it. He printed it. Where do you learn about Brahminical culture in India? That's where it came from. The whole world was following this culture. But due to time, like it says in Bhagavad Gita, right? Now I got to get the verse. Yeah, before that. Imam vivasvate yogam proktavan aham avyayam. I spoke this science to Vivaswan. Right, ultimately it comes to the next verse. Millions of years ago, Vivaswan is the sun god. Right? Imam vivasvate yogam proktavan aham avyayam. I spoke this millions of years ago to Vivaswan. What did he speak? Yoga Shastra. What is yoga? I explained this to the Christians on Sunday night. Yoga comes from the verbal root yuj. The great sage Panini. Have you ever heard his name? No. Well, the great sage Panini compiled the Sanskrit grammar called Ashtadhyayi. Jiva Goswami's Harinam Amrita Vyakaranam, you might have heard of that. No? Jiva Goswami's Sanskrit grammar. Harinam Amrita, the nectar of the holy name, Vyakaranam is grammar, is based on Panini's grammar of 2000 years ago. Panini observed the language. He did not create the Sanskrit language. He observed the spoken language and he made his observations in almost 4,000 sutras. You know what is a sutra, right? It's a code, a short abbreviation of an idea in a few words. So there are almost 4,000 sutras, and Panini also compiled the Dhatupat. Nobody here heard of the Dhatupat? Dhatu is a verbal root, yuj. Yuj is one of those 2,000 verbal roots, to join. Yoga comes from yuj, to link with God. That's what yoga means. It doesn't mean only the asanas. Asanas are one part of yoga. But the whole concept of yoga is to get liberation, to get out of the repetition of birth and death. So yuj dhatu. So there are 2,000 budge to worship. Yuj. There are other examples. Anyway, this isn't a grammar class, but a grammar. They used to memorize the Dhatupat, and they used to memorize the Ashtadhyayi. Vayakaranika means a grammarian. They used to memorize all of this. Why? So that when you studied the Vedas, what does it mean, Brahmana? When Prabhupada says Sudama Vipra was a qualified Brahmana, what does he mean? Because he was born the son of a Brahmana, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Prabhupada rejected the concept of caste Goswamiism, seminal line. And There's in Vaishnavism, it's a contamination. I am the son of the Goswami, I'm a Goswami. Or the daughter of a Goswami. Recently, 6 months ago, a very famous Vallabh Sampradaya Goswamini left her body at the age of 77. Indira Beti, you ever heard of her? No? Well, some of our god sisters used to go to her. So she was a good Bhagavat Katakar, Katavachak, who used to tell the Bhagavatam stories in Gujarati mostly, probably in Hindi also. They relate these stories from the Bhagavatam in 7 days. It's called the Bhagavat Sapta. You've heard of the Bhagavat Sapta, right? Saptaha means a week, seven. So they claim to be the Goswami because they're the son or the daughter of the Goswami. And what happens to the daughter of the Goswami who gets married? Indira Beti never married. She was a spinster. Is that how you say it? When the daughter of the Goswami, two of these Goswami daughters' sons got initiated in ISKCON. One by Kavi Chandra Maharaj, one by Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj. You know what they're called? Lalji. They're not Goswamis. Because their father was not a Goswami, their mother was a Goswami, they're not Goswami, they're Lalji's. Did you ever hear this? This is what you get by living in India. That's what you learn, all these funny things. They're not, it's avidhi purvakam, right? Krishna says in Gita, yajanti avidhi purvakam. Ye api anya devata bhaktaha yajante shraddhayanvitaha. Those who worship other demigods besides me, tepi mam eva kaunteya, they come to me. Yajanti avidhi purvakam. In Vrindavan, we asked Prabhupada, is it better to worship the one god of the Western religions, or is it better to worship the demigods? Unfortunately, the other devotee who was with me left his body, Brahmananda, who was Brahmananda Swami at the time. So we were talking with Prabhupada on a morning walk, September 1975 in Vrindavan. So Prabhupada answered, it's better to worship the demigods, because by worshiping the demigods, you get gradual elevation. He said, these religions, the Western religions, are the religions of the meat eaters. He did not give them importance. Sunday night, I saw that. I saw how little they know. Of course, there's also a saying, the more you come to know, the more you know, the more you come to know, how little you know. The more you know, the more you come to know, how little you know. But because they don't have Vedic knowledge, the Western religions are bewildered. Yes, there's a soul, but the animals don't have a soul. There's no logic in that. So we can eat the animals. And McDonald's is doing a booming business over here. Yeah, among other such enterprises based on the slaughter of animals. So what is Brahminical culture? What does it mean? That means in the childhood, you must study the Vedas. You must memorize at least one Veda. We have not done that. Therefore, we are all unqualified, actually. The fact of the matter is that we want to revive Vedic culture. That means to study Vedas. Yeah, it does. Oh, the Vedas are too difficult? No, there are thousands and thousands today, Brahmanas in India, who in the childhood, they memorize one Veda, and then they go on. There's a Vedic educational syllabus. It exists. That we are blissfully ignorant of that is our fault, or our misfortune. Here, Prabhupada says, Brahminical culture. What does it mean? To be a Vipra doesn't mean that you claim my father was a Brahmana, or my father was a Goswami. But that's going on. It's going on in India, but it's a perversion of the actual fact of the matter, the perversion of what Vedic culture is supposed to be. What is it? Those who studied Veda patad bhavet vipra, right? Janmana jayate shudra, you're born a shudra. Sanskaro bhavate dvijaha. By getting the upanayanam, Oh, well, that's Vedic. That's not Pancharatrik. But we are Vedic. We're supposed to follow Brahminical. Brahminical culture means Vedic culture. There's an argument why we have these Brahmin thread. It's not Pancharatrika, it's not Vaishnav. But then who introduced this Brahmin thread for non-Brahmins by birth? Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Not me, not Prabhupada, Prabhupada's guru, to revive Varnashram Dharma, which is Vedic culture. Hey, who taught this Varnashram Dharma anyway? I have heard some of our leaders, I don't want to mention their name, my godbrother who I love dearly, we don't want to talk about Varnashram. It's the caste system. Shocking. Shocking. I won't mention any names. Why is it shocking? Because in the Gita, Krishna says, Chaturvarnam Maya Shrishtam. I established this Varnashram Dharma. I divided society. Guna Karma Vibhagashaha. According to gunas and karmas. According to the qualities and the activities. So what is the Brahminical activity and why is Krishna, why does Lord Krishna want to protect the Brahmanas? The whole purport here, the whole verse, protect the Brahmanas. Why? Brahminical culture means protect Brahmanas and cows. Does it mean that because your name is Mr. Butt, Mr. Vyas, Mr. Joshi, right, Mr. Acharya? Acharya, there are people that write, you know, Gopal Acharya, Govinda Acharya. You've heard these names among Indian people. So your ancestor was an Acharya, a guru, a teacher. In fact, every Brahmin is supposed to be a guru. Because Brahmanas are the, Prabhupada said, the Brahmanas are the gurus of society. The Brahminical class is supposed to teach society what is in the Vedas. And what's in the Vedas? Simple agrarian type of lifestyle. Protect the cows. What's the first thing that we should do in the morning? This is a question I asked. Trick question. This is interactive now. So who wants to say? Yeah. You're the first person that got it right on the first try. In any temple ever, everywhere, that I've ever asked this question. A round of applause, please. It's true. It's true. The first activity for a householder is to get up. Every householder is supposed to keep a cow. The Brahminical culture means protection of cows. And the cows in the morning, they have to be relieved of the burden of the milk. And so the householder has to go and milk the cow. First thing, before you take a bath, before you brush your teeth, before you look at your hands and recite prayers, go seva, serve the cows. And here they're killing the cows. They don't understand, although there's an argument that these are not cows, these are like mules, right? In between a horse and a donkey is a mule. In between a cow and a buffalo are the western cows. And the cows with the hump on the back, the lakshanas, the drooping ears, those are the cows. There's A1, A2 milk. You've heard this thing. Some people haven't heard it. But anyway, all the animals should be, why should the animals be slaughtered? And if somebody wants to eat meat, let them kill the animal, not in a slaughterhouse. Why should a slaughterhouse be allowed when it's a sinful activity? But it's business. Oh, it's on the Dow Jones Industrial Average, right? What is it? The big agribusiness. Kill the animals. Prabhupada called it a humbug civilization. It's not based on the Vedic principles. It's not based on protection of cows and brahmanas. There's no king to protect. Chhatra means to protect cows and brahmanas. So we have a long way to go. A long way to go if we want to revive Vedic culture. This is a good group. You know, I've been to a few temples. Not a lot. But I didn't see such a group in a Bhagavatam class during this visit to the United States. Oh yeah, in Juhu. In Juhu temple, in Chopati temple, in Delhi. My God, in Delhi, what a crowd, huh? In the Delhi temple, you'll have a couple hundred people in the Bhagavatam class every day. Not in our temple, he knows. How many in Vidyanagar in the Bhagavatam class? 20 is almost, even Baroda doesn't have 20, right? So we have a long way to go to educate. You know, I didn't condemn those Christians. I was nice with them. We had a nice, they're preaching in India, unfortunately, converting the ignorant, you know, members of the lowest castes to meat eating and and the like. But I didn't condemn them. I explained, you know, I explained the simple principles. If some living entity, how can it not have a soul? If there's symptoms of life, then what is that symptom of life? Consciousness. Then how can you say there's no soul there? It's foolishness. It's a poor fund of knowledge, Prabhupada called it. Poor fund of knowledge. Vipra means someone who studied Vedas. He memorized one Veda. And there were these names, right? In Mathura, Chaturvedi. In Mathura, there are so many Chaturvedis. Well, their ancestors studied all four Vedas. Actually, there was one Veda, and Vyasadeva divided it into four. And in according to the Bhagavatam in the first canto, he gave a different rishi the responsibility of one of those four Vedas that he divided. And those rishis had disciples. And so when a Brahmana identifies himself in India, he recites the branch of the Vedas. Oh, we never, in ISKCON, we don't learn this. Chatusagara paryantam go brahmanebhya shubham bhavatu abhivadaye abhivadaye. I identify myself. And then according to your gotra and your Veda shaka. So gotra is a lineage. Prabhupada said we belong to a chuta gotra. Right? Because we have no lineage. But this is there. That it's a consideration. Agastya Muni Mahendra Mayobhaveti Triarshaya Triparvarandita. So I have a Sanskrit guru, Kaushalya Gotra, Ashvalayana Sutra. Every Vedic Brahman has a sutra. And that's not the sutras of the Vedanta sutras, but that's a Griha Sutra. Or how to live in the Grihastha Ashram. The Ashvalayana, Apastamba, Bharadvaja, the different rishis who compiled instructions on how to perform Vedic rituals and sanskaras. Ashvalayana Sutra, Rig Veda. So there's four Vedas, Rig Veda, Samaveda. Krishna says in Gita, Vedanam Samavedosmi. Of the Vedas, I'm the Samaveda. So the Rig Veda, Sama, that doesn't mean the other Vedas are invalid, right? Pandavanam, aham, what is it? Pandavanam, Arjunoham, I'm Arjuna among the Pandavas. And like that, Vrishni nam Vasudevosmi. I am Vasudeva, Krishna among the Vrishnis. And there are so many, I didn't memorize them, that's my mistake or weakness, that I didn't memorize the whole Gita. We should memorize the whole Gita. We should memorize one Veda. Then studying the Vedangas, the six limbs of the Vedas. You know the six limbs? Adan Pradan, I mean, what is it called? Interactive? Anybody want to tell me the six limbs of the Vedas? You lived in India. Limbs, Vedangas. No? Ayurveda is not one of the Vedangas, but it's a supplementary Vedic literature like the Puranas, the Shad Darshanas, the six philosophies. Who knows the six philosophies? Well, no, the Jaimini is a composer of one of the six systems of philosophy. No, you know the name of who, I asked what are the six systems, not the author of the six systems, but they're linked. No, Dvaita and Vishishta Dvaita belong to one of the six systems called the one that we follow. Come on, you're brahmacharis in saffron, you don't know this. Bhagavatam? No. What? The Bhagavatam is the natural commentary on Vedanta. That's one of the six. Jaimini is the author of Mimamsa, Karma Mimamsa, Prabhupada called it, but it's the Mimamsa Sutras, the Vedanta Sutras, Sankhya, Vaisheshika, Yoga of Patanjali, and there's one more, Nyaya Sutras of Gotama. Gotama Nyaya Sutras, Shad Darshana, six philosophies that came out of the Vedas. We follow the Vedanta. There's two ideas in Vedanta. What are they? Two schools of thought. No, you missed. There's Dvaita, Advaita. But among Dvaita, there are different. Vishishta Dvaita, Dvaita Advaita, Achintya Bheda Bheda. Achintya Bheda Bhed was propounded by? No. Well, maybe yes, but who really propounded it in our line? Come on. Huh? Madhvacharya, no. He propounded Dvaita. Baladev, Govinda Bhashya. The commentary, the Gaudiya commentary on Vedanta was written by Baladev. Prabhupada dedicated his Gita commentary to Baladev. Right? Vedanta, Gita is Gita Upanishad. The Upanishads are Vedanta. We should know these things. What is Vedanta? The end of the Vedas. And what does that mean? The Upanishads. And Vedanta sutras are concise statements summarizing the Upanishads. That's what the Vedanta Sutras are. So that's one philosophy called Vedanta philosophy. And on those Brahma Sutras, Badarayana Sutras, Vedanta Sutras, it's all the same thing, different names, there are different commentaries. The first one, Shankaracharya's Sharirika Bhashya. That was the first commentary, Advaita. And to oppose that impersonal interpretation of the Upanishads, which are, a lot of them are impersonal, but they're not all impersonal, was Madhva, Dvaita. Before Madhva was Ramanuja, Vishishta Dvaita. Then Madhva Dvaita. Then Shuddha Dvaita, Vallabha. Dvaita Dvaita, Nimbarkacharya, and then Govinda Bhashya, Achintya Bheda Bhed, Gaudiya Siddhanta, Gaudiya Vaishnava, Vedanta, Vedanta Vyakyanam, commentary, explanation. So that's just part of Vedic culture. The Vedangas was what I was asking, because once you study one Veda, then you have to come to the six limbs of the Vedas. Grammar, Vyakaranam. Now, when you say grammar, Vyakaranam, are you talking about Panini's grammar or Jiva Goswami's grammar? No. Pratishakya Vyakaranam, from the Vedas. There's an ancient grammar. Jyotisham, astronomy. Not astrology, astronomy. The auspicious situation of the stars. What's the most famous for us? Jayanti. It's a situation of the stars that appears only on the day Lord Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago. Therefore, we say Krishna Jayanti. But now everybody's Jayanti, right? Gandhi Jayanti, this Jayanti. It's wrong. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur commented like that. That it's only on Krishna's appearance when you have this confluence, a certain circumstance of the stars coming together called Jayanti. So Jyotisham, Vyakaranam, Chanda Shastra, which are mentioned in the verse. The Chandas are the Vedic meter. And then there's Chanda, Jyoti, Kalpa Sutras, the manual how to perform Vedic sacrifice. So this is part of Vedangas. So what do we have? Vyakaranam, Jyotisham, Nirukta and Nighantu. verbal roots, not verbal roots, I'm sorry, obscure words. What's the English for that? It's a dictionary of words that are used occasionally in the Vedas. The Nigantu and the Nirukta, etymology. And then we had Chanda and Shiksha, phonetics, Ucharanam, how to pronounce properly. Kalpa Sutra, how to pronounce, and what else is missing? Something one is missing. Jyotisham, Vyakaranam, Nigantu, Nirukta, etymology, Chanda Shastra, the prosody, Shiksha, phonetics, and there's one more. No, not sanskaras. Anyway, I have failed. I'll remember, it'll come someday. So this is Vedic educational system, the Vedic syllabus. You learn the Veda, then you learn one of the Vedangas. There are Brahmins in Orissa called Shadangi. I know Girija Prasad Shadangi. And there was another Shadangi who was head of the Department of Sanskrit at Andhra University in Vishakhapatnam, I'm talking about 35 years ago, long passed away. But in Orissa, there are Brahmins who write this Shadangi as a surname. So they knew all these six Angas of the Vedas. That's what it denoted. But their ancestors, or like Acharya was a teacher, Shadangi, and there are different names for Brahmanas, right? So we have Patak, some who was reciting Chaturvedi, Trivedi, Dvivedi. Joshi was someone who knew Jyotish Shastra, or the Jyotish Anga. Bhat, Sarvabhoma Bhattacharya. Bhatta meant learned in Vedas, Acharya, teacher. There's an explanation for all of these words. Prabhupada is an honorific. Prabhu Charana, Prabhupadaha, Prabhu Charanaha, Guru Charanaha. These are words in Sanskrit that were given to show respect and regard. Not that there should be a fight, you cannot say Prabhupada because it's only for Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. You know, that kind of fanaticism was there. It's wrong. Learning Vedic culture really means to become, you said the right word, sanskara. To be cultured. Sanskara means impression. To get the correct impression. And what is the correct impression and the correct culture? Well, right from the beginning, there should be Sanskritam. Sanskrita bhasha. Sanskrita language. This English is a malecha bhasha, isn't it? It comes from Sanskrit. Right? Ast, asti, ast, ist, is. Is from the German ist, from the Persian ast, from Sanskrit asti. Astika, nastika. You've heard those words? Astika, someone who believes that Ishvara, there's a supreme controller. Astika comes from asti, is. Nastika, nasti, is not. Nastika, an atheist, says there is no God, there is no Ishvara. So these terms, Sanskrit terms, we should learn. Is it impossible to learn? Asambhavam nasti. Asambhavam, impossible. Nasti, it is not impossible. It is sambhavam asti. It is possible. How? Sambhashanena eva, by speaking. How does anyone learn a language? By speaking. Mother tongue. The mother tutors the child. The mother doesn't say, my dear son, my dear daughter, today is grammar lesson number one. It's nonsense, right? Doesn't exist. Every mother takes the child or tells the child, sit, eat, in whatever language. English, Spanish, Italian. No, these are malecha bhashas. Why not in Sanskrit? Due to the degradation of human society. They gave up the Sanskrit language and they gave up the Brahminical culture. It's linked. Don't think it is not linked. Why? People are challenging me on social media. What is this Sanskrit? Why do you think it's so important? Well, Lord Krishna must have thought it important to speak in the Gita. And right, we say, Yaha Swayam Padmanabhasya Mukha Padmadvinisrita. In the Gita Mahatmyam, this came directly from the mouth of Padmanabha. So it must be important. But did it come in English? Did it come in Spanish? Did it come in Italian or German or Russian? It came in Sanskrit. Why shouldn't we learn Sanskrit? Oh, well, we don't need to learn Sanskrit to get liberation. Did I say that? That's what I tell people. Did I say you can't get liberation if you don't know Sanskrit? I never said that. I won't say it. Because if a Jamil can get liberation, Mlechas and Yavanas can get liberation, isn't it? You all know the story of Ajamil, right? Some of the backbenchers are dozing off. Do you know the Ajamil story? We want to keep you awake. That may be asambhavam, impossible. Ajamil, mostly everyone in ISKCON, you know the Ajamil story? Yeah. I'm sorry, with the gray hair. We both have gray hair. You never heard of Ajamil? Okay. Yeah. Ajamil is in the same book that we're reading here, called the Srimad Bhagavatam. Before this, in the sixth canto, he was a Brahmin who studied Vedas. This is a good, it's linked. But he left the Vedic culture when he saw a low-class woman, a prostitute, and he became attracted to her, and he left his wife. He was married. He had an attractive wife, but he became a thief, a rogue, a murderer. This is all in the Bhagavatam. At the end of his life, he had children from that prostitute, and the youngest was called Narayana, the name of God, the name of Vishnu. You have a question, yeah. The Vedic literature is older than Buddhism. Buddhism is 2,500 years old. This is 5,000 years old. Yeah, but in Buddhism, with all due respect, because there's a great body of literature, but there's no God. There's no Ishvara. So therefore, Nastika, Astika. Those who believe in Ishvara are Astika. And those who don't believe, they are Nastika, atheists. So the Buddhists are atheists. Even though Buddhism came from Vedic culture. And they have many similar, like the repetition of birth and death. They understand. Christians don't understand. Actually, some understand. There's some understanding, but it's a very dull, what do you call it, juvenile type of understanding. So Ajamil said Narayana when he was dying, and he got liberation. There's a big story. I'm cutting it very short. So yeah, someone may get liberation. We may also get, we don't know what will happen at the time of death. But the Vedic system was to learn Vedic literature, like Prabhupada told us in Vrindavan, you will get gradual elevation if you follow the Vedic system. That doesn't mean I'm sitting here and saying, let's all go out and, excuse me, let's all go out and worship the demigods. I'm not saying that. But when we asked him, he said it's better to worship the demigods than the, you know, Prabhupada, his statue is here. So I had the chance to ask him, it's 42 years ago, almost 41 and a half years ago, September 1975, I asked face to face, that is it better to worship the one God of the Western religions or the demigods? So we believe in one God, Ishvara, Krishna. But, you know, there's demigod worship in the Vedic system. In Puranas, you know, there are Shiva Puranas that stress the worship of Shiva. There's stress the worship of Durga Devi. And in the Vedic mantras, you make offerings to different demigods like Vayu, Indra, Agni. Then there's the ancestors, Aryama. It's mentioned in the Gita. Aryama is the king of the planet of the ancestors, where your ancestors go, if you're following the Vedic system. If you're not, they might have gone to hell. That's what Arjuna says in the first chapter, right? Lupta pindo daka kriyaha. Those who do not perform pindadanam, offerings to the ancestors, patanti pitaro hesham. Their ancestors fall into hell if they don't perform the Vedic ritual. It's okay, Prabhu. Thank you. How are we doing on time? Acha, so we can open it up to more questions. Anyway, the point I was making was that people say we don't need to know Sanskrit to get liberation. You didn't say that. I'm not accusing you or anyone in this room, but on social media, people are questioning me, why are you propagating Sanskrit? We don't need Sanskrit to get liberation. But all the Vedic shastras, Vedic literatures are in Sanskrit. It's not important. There's a letter we have now from Prabhupada that in all the schools we should teach Sanskrit to all of our children. There's a picture of Prabhupada with the Dwarkadish Das, who lives in Santa Rosa, California, about a 5-minute drive from my sister. So whenever I go there, which hasn't been for 6 years now, and the last time I went, I don't remember if I met him or not. Maybe I did. Anyway, Prabhupada taking his hand and, you know, learning the Devanagari script. So it is important, and it isn't impossible, because I know thousands and thousands of people in India speak Sanskrit. Why is it important? It's a sanskara, an impression. If you're always meditating on these words, the Gita, the Bhagavatam, in the original, isn't it better? Isn't it better? It is. But no, we don't want to say that because we don't want to discourage people. Hey, I don't want to discourage anybody. And you don't need to know Sanskrit to get liberation. That's a fact. It's a fact. But how much better is it when your mind is thinking about these words, the words of the Gita, rather than, you know, whatever. There's a lot of things. Right, Prabhu.
Prabhu. So, how do we start practically in the level of, we learn verses, we go to the words, you know, we remember some words, but you proposing...
You don't learn the language like that.
Yeah, so how practically to, you know, us, you will tell us, how do we start, you know, and what time?
The best way to learn any language is to immerse yourself. Now, this wasn't popular, still not, you know, mass, it's not a mass thing, but the Peace Corps, the U.S. government, you know, John F. Kennedy, remember him? He was assassinated 53 years ago. He started the Peace Corps. And my brother was a volunteer, and you have to be a college graduate and you volunteer. In the first 6 weeks, my brother was in Kenya, and he was posted as an English teacher on the Kenya-Somalia border. And the first 6 weeks, they teach you to speak Swahili, and they teach you by speaking. So, I mean, this immersion method, it's called, when you jump in the water to learn how to swim, you immerse yourself in the language. And it begins by asking, what is the meaning of a word in that language? That's the best way. So you're learning word by word, like the mother teaches a child, sit, 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 eat, 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 no, 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 yes, 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 come, 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 go, 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 whatever it is. The child keeps hearing these words from his mother. The mother is the first guru, Shiksha guru. Then the language is formed by hearing the mother. So same thing for learning Sanskritam, there's immersion. Now there's another institution that's linked to the present Indian government, because the Indian government is a political wing of something called the RSS. Have you heard of the RSS? That's basically National Volunteer Force to protect the Hindus and protect Vedic culture, which is what Hindus stand for. Well, if you read the definition of Hinduism in the dictionary, the religion that came from the Vedic religion. So there's no difference. So anyway, they have a branch that is dedicated to teaching spoken Sanskrit, and they run a camp in Delhi and Banaras, and you pay nothing, next to nothing, to stay for 2 weeks and get two vegetarian, no onion and no garlic meals twice a day. And from morning 5:30 till 10 at night, you speak only in Sanskrit. That's an immersion camp. So that's what I would recommend. And there are ISKCON devotees and other Gaudiya Math diaspora, as I call them, who have gone and they've learned to speak. You have to do it like a child. It's called grassroots. You have to come up from the bottom and go up to the top. It's not that you can just jump in at the top, but a lot of people want to do that. You know, I'm a great Vedantist, but you can't speak Sanskrit. Very strange. Yeah. No, rote is a different thing. I'll explain rote. Rote, there's a Sanskrit word for that called avartanam. Dharma kshetre kuru kshetre samaveta yuyutsavaha. Dharma kshetre kuru kshetre samaveta yuyutsavaha. So this is the first verse of Bhagavad Gita. You know Bhagavad Gita, right? So that was the first. So rote means to constantly repeat that. Dharma kshetre kuru kshetre, on your own. Dharma kshetre kuru kshetre samaveta yuyutsavaha mama kaf pandavashchaiva kima kurvata sanjaya sanjaya uvacha. So if you memorize, there's a way by rote where you recite one verse and then you recite the first word of the next verse as a link to the next verse. Sanjaya uvacha drishtva tu pandavanikam vyudham duryodhanastada acharyam upasangamya raja vachanam apravit pashyaitam. So the third verse is pashyaitam pandu putranam. But if you recite the first word along with that, then you've got a link. So avartanam, rote, means to memorize something. Learning to speak, there is no memorization. Ah, that's the difference. It's a natural process. The mother doesn't say, now memorize, eat, eat, eat. You understand my point? I'm not attacking anybody. I'm just brainstorming or trying to present the idea. Right, yeah.
Hare Krishna Guru. My question, in terms of a Brahmin who would learn one Veda, we hear that 90% of the Vedas are Karmakanda. So of these original four Vedas, is that Karmakanda? And therein, what type of benefit would one be, versus we focus on the Jnana portion of the Vedas or the right. Vedanta?
Ideologically, we are not for Karmakanda, right? We're for bhakti, ideologically. But Prabhupada wanted that the whole society be reformed, right? Otherwise, you're not going to close the slaughterhouses. Well, we couldn't do it, but we aspire to do it someday. And so there's another vision, right? There's another vision, a broader vision, is to make the whole society Vedic. Now, armed revolution is an option, but it's not going to work. We don't have the numbers. We couldn't convince that many people. You know, like in Russia right now, right? Anybody who's an opponent of Putin is murdered, right? Everyone knows it. It's open secret. Whether you're in London, whether you're in Ukraine, you were a prominent opponent, an assassin will come and send you to Yamalokam. right? It's going on. Or the police bash the demonstrators and remove them. And so Baladeva, you've heard of him. He's on the altar, right? He has a plow. Bala means strength. Yeah, it's part of the Vedic system. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Yudhyasva Madanusmaran, fight, thinking of me. So there's going to be a section of society that's going to fight, right? Yudhaya Kritanishchayaha. Yudhaya, for fighting, Krita, having done, Nishchayaha, fix your mind on fighting. These are the instructions of Gita. Krishna is telling Arjuna to fight. So right now, that fighting is not going to happen. We just don't have the wherewithal to oppose this demoniac society. We were from that society, so we also have compassion. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we say, we believe, is the avatar of Krishna and Balaram, and Nityananda is Balaram. And he said, no, don't kill those rascals, Jagai and Madai. Because if you kill them, you have to kill everyone. And that would have been us too, because we're from the demons. Like Prahlad was from a demon. His father was a demon. So we're from that section of society. But if you take the whole society and that ultimate reformation of society, then there will be the karma kanda will be there. That's the Vedic system. Actually, what is karma kanda? That means performing a sacrifice to please a demigod so that you can get some material benefit, right? And the Vaishnav concept is you perform the same sacrifice, and you, when you make the offering, you don't call the demigods, but you call Vishnu. That's the difference. So someone can be a Vedic Brahmana, but instead of worshipping the demigod, he'll worship directly Vishnu. So in Gita, Krishna says, I make the faith strong. Yam yam, what is it? Yo yo yam yam tanum bhaktaha shraddhai archi tumichasi. According to their desire, tasya tasya chalam dhruvam. I can't remember the rest of it, but in the Gita, he says, avidhi purvakam, but he says that I make their faith strong so that they can worship these different demigods. Why? Because they're following a Vedic system and they will get gradual elevation. That's the explanation. Same time, we wouldn't encourage that. We would say perform the Vedic sacrifices, but offer those sacrifices directly to Krishna, directly to Vishnu. But we should learn the Vedic sacrifices. And then we say in Kali Yuga there's Harinam, that's the only sacrifice. But we also perform fire sacrifices for weddings and initiations and whatever. There are sacrifices even in the Pancharatras.
You mentioned Jayati. Why is it called Ram Navami?
Oh, Navami is the ninth day. You see, according to the Jyotisham, astronomy, there's 15 days waxing and waning moon. That's called a paksha. And in Sanskrit, when you count from 1 to 15, there's Pratipad, the first day. Dvitiya, Tritiya, Chaturthi, Panchami, Shashti, Saptami, Ashtami, Navami, Dashami, Ekadashi, Dvadashi, Trayodashi, Chaturdashi, and then it's either Amavasya, no moon, what they call the new moon here, and Purnima. It's not Purnim, it's Purnima, not Ah, Purnima. So they're waxing Paksha and the waning Paksha, Shukla and Krishna. Shukla Krishna Gati Hyete, who leaves in the Krishna Paksha comes back, according to Gita, and who leaves in the Shukla Paksha, the waxing fortnight, gets liberation. What liberation is that? It might be Sayujyam, merging into the bodily effulgence of Krishna. the yogi, and I didn't memorize all those verses, but it's there in Gita. More question. Okay.
Despite such a glorious history in India today, most of the populace, I'm curious where the Vedic remnants of Brahminical culture are in terms of, it seems the majority of people are taking to engineering.
Actually, the mass of population everywhere are Shudras, right? Brahmanas are intellectuals. If you say that here, the teachers are the Brahmanas, for example. They're not the pure Brahmanas, but it's like a Brahmana. So it's a very small part of the population. It exists, intellectuals, then military, spirited, the police or the military or the administrators, the politicians, then the business class, businessmen, and then which the big businessmen have swallowed all the little businessmen in this country. And it's funny because, you know, it would have been a bigger population. And then the labor class. So labor class everywhere is more. In India, if you go in the history and, you know, agriculture, it's an agrarian economy, an agrarian place, where you get two or three crops a year and you see thousands and thousands of laborers. They didn't have these harvesters. Now they have it. Then it creates a dilemma where to put these people and where to engage them. And they come in the cities and work in factories and live like cockroaches and rats. It's terrible. At least, even if they were living in poverty, they had fresh air. They were working with the cows and the bulls, plowing the land. They're still doing it in many places. And there's still tribals in the forest, although a lot of the forests have been cut down for the wood, for profit. So, I mean, this system existed for thousands of years. People are dull-headed. You tell them, you know, the Gita teaches this, and they can't understand it. So they're Shudras. Better they engage in some menial, paricharyatmakam karma, serving others. So that's the mass anyway. An engineer is a Shudra. Engineer is a Shudra. Because he's mostly an employee of someone. If a businessman is not a Shudra, right? Vaishya. But Vaishyas and Shudras are considered sinful. Papa yonayaha. Right? Mamhi partha vyapashritya ye pisyu papayonayaha. Those who are considered lower in society, they can obtain the highest destination. So it's not that someone has a lower birth, he cannot get liberation. But, they're more materialistic. That's why it's considered lower. And a Brahmana who has Vedic knowledge is supposed to follow certain, higher principles of life, more sattvic life. Shudras are allowed to eat meat, Prabhupada said, or drink alcohol. But there shouldn't be a distillery, or there shouldn't be slaughterhouse. So what does that mean? I mean, fishermen were there from time immemorial. Doesn't mean that they're not low class. Fish eat everything, so someone who eats fish, it's considered he eats everything. So it's very degraded. Shudras are degraded naturally. It's a lower station in life. They may give up those bad habits and purify themselves and get liberation. It's not a disqualification, and there's not a prejudice there. But they have to uplift themselves. Well, everyone, Udaret Atmanatmanam Atmanam Avasadayet, 6th chapter of Gita. Everyone's supposed to uplift themselves by controlling their mind. Atmaiva hi atmanor bandhu atmaiva ripur atmanaha. The mind may be the best friend or the greatest enemy. So you have to uplift your mind by controlling your mind. It's easier for a Brahmana because he's given the Brahminical training that human life is meant for sense control. Human life is meant for obtaining liberation. Human life is meant for meditating on the Veda mantras. A human life is meant for patana patana yajana yajana dana pratigraha, the 6 brahminical activities. Right.
Srila Prabhupada, thank you for your class. Actually, my question is related to your last point there, actually, because we were hearing in this verse and from yesterday that the Lord appears to protect living beings and the principles. And yesterday we were hearing that Lord Brahma had the Veda stolen from a demon named Hayagriva. And the reason I appreciate that is because when we're robbed in a material world, when we call 911 and say we're robbed,
right,
we say, we never say they stole my books.
They stole my books.
Right. We never say that.
Right.
We say, you stole my money. So the reason I appreciate this is because nowhere in the Vedic literature, at least I don't know too much about the whole vast literature, but from these verses, it doesn't say, you know, they had a state-of-the-art Swiss bank account security system,
right,
to protect the money. And your last point, you were mentioning that the most important part is how to control the mind and senses, because you may have a lot of money, but we can see celebrities completely ruin their lives without knowledge and protection of the Veda. So how do we get people to understand that actually it doesn't matter what you do to protect your money. First of all, the Lord could take it away, like the Bali Maharaj passed on, we were listening last chapter. But Prabhupada even quoted the Bible and the Gita, like, what is the use of gaining the entire world if you lose your eternal soul, something like that.
Right,
so
right.
Can you elaborate on those points a little bit, but that wisdom and principles are more important than
Yeah, the system for protecting the Vedas was to memorize them. Shruti. The Vedas are called Shruti because, you know, when people were more intelligent, they would memorize all four Vedas, which were one. And Veda Vyas saw that in Kali Yuga, people are going to become less intelligent. So he divided the one Veda into four. That itself proves that we should still memorize the Veda, because it was done for Kali Yuga. It wasn't done for a previous Yuga. So Veda must be, that's why I say, and this is where ISKCON, there's a lacuna in ISKCON. Because Prabhupada said, have a Gurukul system. But he stressed it, but he made a little compromise, that we have to admit. But it was time and circumstance. So now, after 50 years of ISKCON, we should wake up that there is a Vedic syllabus, there is a Sanskrit Bhasha, Sanskrit language, and we need to learn the language and we need to implement that syllabus that does exist in India. You asked, where is it in India? Who asked, where is it in India? You were asking, where is it in India now? Well, it's still there, because the problem is there are no more kings. The kings were the ones who patronized Vedic culture. Just like here, the government gives a grant for the arts and science and so forth, right? So the kings, they used to give brahmanas everything. We see the King Nriga story. You know that story from the 10th canto? Nriga. You don't know. Krishna and his son Samba were out one day, and Samba came on a well. And in the well there was a huge lizard. And so he called his father Krishna. And he said, look at this wonderful lizard. And Krishna extended his arm. He's God, he can do anything. He picked up that lizard and put down the lizard, and lizard became a devata, a demigod, with a crown, and that demigod bowed down on the ground to Lord Krishna. So Lord Krishna says, oh, this is amazing. Please tell us your story. So that lizard turned into the devata, said, my lord, you know everything, but since you've commanded me, here's my story. And I was a very charitable king who gave cows to brahmanas and protected Vedic culture. But one of the cow from one brahmana went into the herd of the other brahmana, and they came to me disputing, this is my cow, this is my cow. And I offered each of them that you give me this one cow and I'll give you each 100,000 cows. But they refused. They were fighting and they claimed. So I had to be born as a lizard as a result of that sin. No, I'm making it very short. Actually, Yamaraj asked him, would you rather enjoy the suffering of your sinful activity or the fruit of your pious activity? So he thought, well, I have a lot of pious activity. It shouldn't be disturbed by my suffering, so let me suffer first. So I was turned into the lizard. So the point is that the kings protected Vedic, and he said, I gave cows to the Brahmanas, even wives to the Brahmanas, gold, whatever they needed, houses. So when you say protect cows in Vedic culture, Hitaya, Namo Brahmanya Devaya, I bow down to that Lord who believes in the Brahminical culture. Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha. Heat means welfare. The welfare of the cows and the Brahmanas, not the welfare of the kids studying in modern schools. Oh, it came out. It's going on in India. It's not here. In fact, there's a letter to Guru Das. I have a scan. Prabhupada said, without philosophy, if you simply give them food, it is nonsense. Prabhupada wrote, not me. The letter is there, 1972, May. But we're doing it. We're giving food to kids in schools. That's social welfare work. But Hitaya for welfare. Aya Krishnaya for Krishna, Ramaya for Rama, Hitaya for welfare. Hita, welfare, benefit. For benefiting cows and Brahmanas, go Brahmana Hitaya. Why? Why not for the kids, poor kids, whose parents can't give them 2 square meals a day? And it's not bacon and eggs. Oh, I'm sorry. It's khichdi and kadhi or chapatis and sabji. Why? Why Brahmanas and cows? That's the Brahminical culture, the Vedic culture. That's why. Krishna is the one. Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha. Jagat Hitaya. Jagat, the universe, Hitaya, for the benefit. Govindaya Namo Namaha. I bow down to Lord Govinda, who's thinking of the welfare of the universe. But what is the real welfare of Vedic culture? That's what we should be giving people. That's what ISKCON is meant to do. And part of that is our children getting the proper education, which is the Vedic syllabus, not the Western syllabus, but a little, you know, half an hour for Bhagavad Gita and nothing for Sanskrit. So that's what we're having now in most of our so-called ISKCON Gurukuls, except for Mayapur. Mayapur, they have some Vedic syllabus there. We're trying to improve that. I'm part of that effort to improve it, but a small part. So, yeah, I mean, this system existed for thousands of years where kings would, you know, protect. And South India is where the Muslim influence was not as great as it was in North India. But you still have Brahmins all over India who study Vedas, mostly in South. The numbers are more. And north, because of the Western influence is in India, is more in the urban areas, in the big cities. But I can take you and show you. There's hundreds of schools and thousands of students and hundreds of gurus. Because a guru is someone like Sandipani. This was another thing I forgot to mention. When Lord Krishna appeared, he purposely became a cowherd boy and showed personally how to give protection to cows and Brahmins. Similarly, he showed respect to Sudama Vipra, a real Brahmin. And what wasn't mentioned here, it is mentioned here, from the Lord's personal activities, human society should learn how to give protection specifically to Brahmanas and cows. Lord Krishna showed what is the Vedic educational syllabus when he went to the Gurukul of Sandipani in Ujjain, which is Avanti. Ujjain means Udyan, gardens. The old name is Avanti. So he went there and he studied with Sudama Vipra and with Balaram Vedas. And they studied the 64 arts, but they also studied the Vedas. It's Vedic culture. Here's a trick question, but it's in the Bhagavatam. Sandipani is from where? Avanti? No. Where is he from? Panditji? Where is he from? You can't answer, huh? Huh? You're a Vedic scholar. Yes. He did it again. The right answer. Absolutely correct. 100%. You're a millionaire. You, right? Is it who wants to be a millionaire in India? It's who wants to be a crorepati, right? You get the right, you answer the right question, you get the money. He was from Badkashi, is the ancient name. Varanasi is two rivers, Varana and Asi. Therefore, Varanasi. And Banaras is a corruption of Varanasi. But the old name is Kashi. So why Kashi is famous as a place of Vedic education? Very famous. It's glorified in the Matsya Purana, so that's linked to today dealing with the Matsya Avatar. Prabhupada wrote, the Matsya Purana is the first Purana. And Avimukta Kshetra, where you get liberation, is Kashi. So many people go there to die. There's a saying in Gujarati, right? Surat no jaman, Kashi no maran. Eat in Surat, die in Banaras. Because the tastiest food in Gujarat is in Surat. Yeah, many tasty, he doesn't know, he didn't live in Surat. I lived for 3 years in Surat. You didn't. You're unqualified. You don't qualify. And he's also not from Surat. Surat, but all over Gujarat, this is a famous saying, Surat no jaman, the food of Surat. Kashi no maran, dying in Banaras. They've made dharamshalas in Banaras for people, you know, what is it called? The hospice, where people go to die. Because if you die in Banaras, you get Sayujya Mukti. You may not get Salokya, Samipya, Sharshti and Sarupya, but you may get Sayujya Mukti. According to the Matsya Purana, not according to me. Any other question? We took it almost a half an hour. People are interested. Yes, Mataji. Not to be, I made a comment yesterday on Facebook. There were so many great devotee women in the Vedic literature. So many great devotee women, right? Kunti, Draupadi, Devahuti, and there was one, Draupadi, Kunti, Gandhari. So, you know, it's not that women are disqualified from getting moksha, but there's Sri Dharma, which is mentioned in the Bhagavatam. I didn't write the Bhagavatam. Yeah, sorry, Mataji.
You know, the proposition you had made that the children get educated with the Vedic syllabus. So, and you had pointed to the, I guess, the way that Sandipani Muni had structured things for Krishna and Balaram. So, if one were to take that structure, I mean, I think there's something like 68 arts, I don't know the exact number, that Krishna and Balaram learned. So if one were to do a breakdown on a practical level, like on a daily basis, let's say the regular syllabus that's in, you know, the regular materialistic schools may have 6 subjects in a day with 40 minutes given to each subject, but here we're looking
at... That's all the Western system. That's all the Western system. The Gurukula was from 8 years of age till 25. And even then, you don't stop become like Ramanujacharya. After he became a grihastha, the story was, he was a brahmachari, then he became a grihastha, and he was studying Vedanta with Yadava Prakash. And when Yadava Prakash made some, you know, impersonal comments, he revolted, right? He was a revolutionary. Ramanujacharya was a revolution. He revolted against his guru. So, you know, our ISKCON devotees would say, he's a guru aparadi. He offended his guru. You know, but then you have to condemn Ramanujacharya. He gave up that guru. He left him because he was an impersonalist. Yadava Prakash. So the education, it never ends, actually. It goes on and on even after the basic education. But the basic education is to learn a Veda and then Vedangas. And Vedanga would mean grammar, but some grammar. And then there are certain days of the month when you don't study the Vedas, you study Bhagavad Gita during those days. That's how I've seen it in many Gurukulas. And after you finished one Veda, and then you can decide, like the Puranas is one subject, right? History. People become historian, right? And there are grammarian, there's grammar, then there's the philosopher, and there's one very brilliant scholar who was in Pune for many years and now he's in his village in Goa. And he will take anyone from any caste who wants to learn the Nyaya Sutras, logic, Gautama Nyaya Sutra, but not the Nyaya Sutras alone, 23 commentaries. They have to study all 23 in the medium of Sanskrit, communicating in Sanskrit. Devadatt Patil is his name. Devadatt, given by God. Datta means given. Deva, the Lord, or demigod also, but Devadatta Patil, he's a presidential award winner, brilliant scholar. He himself was on the side studying Mimamsa Shastra, you know, Karma Mimamsa of Jaimini, but while teaching Nyaya Shastra. So if you know a lot about one thing, doesn't mean you know everything. The Vedic knowledge is very vast, like Ayurveda, Dhanurveda, the military science. So there are other branches like that, the Dhanurveda, Ayurveda, Puranas, Itihasas, Dharma Shastras, law. And the law is Manu Smriti, Manu Samhita is only one of 80 such books. There are many Dharma Shastras. So the king's ministers who were Brahmanas, they had to know this Dharma Shastras. The kings usually had Brahmana ministers who would guide them. And there was no hire an advocate and fight in the court for 15 years. Like ISKCON is fighting this rascal in Bangalore who claims that he's, you know, directly Prabhupada disciple, never saw Prabhupada. And is claiming he was never a part of ISKCON. It's going on in the Supreme Court of India last 6 years. So to know what is justice, you're supposed to know the Dharma Shastras. And the kings would decide on the spot what was right, like King Nriga. I'll give you both 100,000 cows, give me the one cow. No, you go to court and dispute whose cow it was and hire lawyers and fight for, you know, 30 years in the court in India. And or even the system came from England. United States is following that. India, Pakistan is following that. What is this system? Crazy. Demon crazy, Prabhupada said. So yeah, there is a Vedic system and it's very vast. And there are many subjects. There are many subject matters. It's unfortunate modern society is ignorant of that. And Prabhupada wanted to spread it all over the world. Brahminical culture. It's not something he invented. It's ancient. Only our objection is if someone says, like Buddha, like Buddhism, says there's no Ishvara, then we become a little, strict or rigid. What are the words you want to use? Well, yeah, of course, perturbed. But when, you know, we don't believe in live and let live if someone says there's no Ishvara. But we are liberal because, well, the modern society is liberal and we don't have the power to, you know, force the issue. It's a fact that because of kings and their military power, yatha raja tatha praja yad yad acharati shreshtaha, it's in the Gita. Whatever great men do, common men follow. Whatever the kings do, Ramanujacharya, when he went to Karnataka to run away from the Shaiva king, he converted a Jain king, Bitti Deva, and he named him Vishnu Varada. And he converted the kingdom to Vaishnavism. So historically, that's how Vaishnavism spread to be a mass movement. In India, you find Vaishnavism is mass in certain places. But Shaivism is also mass. In Tamil Nadu, there's a divide, right? In South India, you have the Ramanuja followers, a few Madhvas, and a lot of Smartas. But they don't kill each other. I mean, they sit together and recite Vedas. Because they're all Brahmanas. Brahmana, they're in, as far as studying Vedas, there's no difference. The difference came in Vedanta and the Puranas. Because two interpretations of the Upanishads, impersonal and personal, and then Puranas that encourage demigod worship. So it's the Vedic system, but it's meant for a lower mentality. We could go on for another hour on that. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Hare Krishna. Oops, I forgot to put the place this back on chapter 24. Here it is. Text 4, 5, 6. Got it.